Ailey Forward's first ever virtual holiday season is underway, celebrating six decades of Revelations that launched recently with the premiere of Revelations Reimagined. The opening night benefit with a special performance and guests including so many, including Felicia Rashad, Shonda Rhimes, Vanessa Williams, Jeffrey Wright, and Oprah Winfrey, who spoke on the significance of Revelations. And there will be some new Revelations, the groundbreaking season reaching Miami, and of course here in New York and New Jersey, around the world virtually, containing nine special presentations, each available free online for 1 week, including the world premiere of a jam session for Troubling Times to mark the centennial, dubbed Bird 100, of jazz revolutionary Charlie Bird Parker. The friend and acclaimed Ailey dancer and resident choreographer, Jamar Roberts, joins us on the WBGO Journal. Jamar, great to see you.
Nice to see you as well. Thank you for having me.
Why did you feel this was important to do this piece?
A lot of the work, when I really think of making dances, I first think of the world. I think of the community that I'm in, and then I think of myself. Then I figure out, okay, how can I sort of blend all these two things together? You know, take something that I care about and put it out into the world so that it you know, affects the community and the world in a positive way. And so when I got approached to do a work for Charlie Parker 100, I actually wasn't very, excited in the beginning because, you know, the state of everything being the way that it is, it kind of makes it really difficult to get to that type of energy and that type of, you know, virtuosity that that Bird was dealing with at that time. So I was really sort of far below that. And it took me a while to really, you know, get around to figuring out, okay, how, you know, is it, am I going to, you know, engage with this music?
We talked to Robert Battle a lot of times about the synergy between jazz and the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater and how so many pieces revolve around jazz or blues. Mm-hmm. For you, Charlie Parker, what does Charlie Parker mean to Jamar Roberts?
Oh, what does he mean? He's like the father. For me, I think when it comes to the music, I mean, there would be, you know, all of the musicians that I love so much, Coltrane, Miles Davis, all these guys, there would be no them if there was no, you know, no Charlie Parker. And so I really felt the need to honor that, even though that sound, we're so far away from that sound now, but in a way we're not. You know, you listen to other genres like rap and hip hop, you know, the way that they're sort of spitting out lyrics and at the speed at which they're doing them, you know, there's a direct correlation there. And so, yeah.
When was the first time you heard bebop?
Gosh. First time I heard bebop, I didn't even think I knew what I was listening to. I can't remember, to be honest with you.
Are you a fan, though, of bebop? I mean, sometimes when you do these pieces, you don't necessarily have to be a fan of the music. You just know how to mold it into what the product that we see on the stage and admire so much with the dancers.
Yeah, I have to say that I'm a fan because I admire the artist that made, you know, that sort of pushed that sound forward. So in that sense, yeah, I am a fan. I don't, you know, sit around my day-to-day listening to it, but there are definitely some tunes that I absolutely love. Like I just, for the first time, heard Coleman Hawkins' Body and Soul. He was kind of before, you know, Charlie Parker and those guys, but the way that he sort of handles that song is just absolutely brilliant. So yes, I'm a fan, I would say.
I always like to ask choreographers this, you know, how do you envision when you hear these songs, and does it immediately come to mind what you want your dancers to do? You're a dancer yourself, you know how to move and express yourself, but how does it all start?
You know, it's different for every choreographer. For me, I have to sit with the music for a very long time. A year is the minimum. If I can sit with it longer, the better. And the more that I listen to it and the more that I sort of bring the thoughts and the ideas and the feelings that I have to that music, a picture does start to form, you know, over time. First it's several pictures, and then it just ends up with just one idea that whenever I hear that music, I have a thought about this one idea, and it keeps repeating. And so I take this idea and I just kind of expound on it. and basically try to bring it to life and make it as big as I can, given the amount of resources that I have to do it.
So what inspires you and makes you excited when you see now a jam session for Troubling Times, when you actually see it performed? It comes out of the head of Jamar Roberts, and now it's visualized by the dancers and performed. What's been your reaction?
Oh, I love it. I think I keep, whenever someone asks me about it, I keep saying it's really cute. And I say that because I don't really make cute work. It's not really what I do. It's not really what I'm into, but there's something about the spirit of it. And also the A-League dancers, you know, they really have a way of, what I love about them is, like, I have the steps, I tell them what to do, and they spend a lot of time sort of mimicking me and trying to do what it is that I do. But after a while, when they get it, it's all them. And so when I'm watching it, I just see them being themselves, like their spirit is coming out and it's their interpretation of the work. So when I watch it, I just see my coworkers just kind of like jamming, just kind of having fun. So for me, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Are you ever satisfied? You know, since you're a dancer yourself, mm-hmm. when you choreograph a piece, does it always meet your expectations? I mean, you're thinking, this is what I can do, but can my dancers do everything that I want them to do?
Yeah. That is probably one of the biggest fears is that, it does. I think it does meet my expectations. I mean, since I've been in the choreographic realm professionally, I've yet to make a piece that I was disappointed with.
That's saying something, huh?
Well, yeah. And I can definitely credit that to being in the company sort of realizing what it is that I need to get the work out on the stage. So they give me the time that I need, the rehearsals that I need, or even the space that I need to kind of step away to sort of process, you know, how the piece is gonna be put together. So that hasn't happened yet. I mean, there are some things that I like more than others, definitely, but it hasn't been a time yet where something's gone out and I've been like, that is the pits. No.
I kind of purposely pushed off the inevitable of talking about COVID's impact on the arts and how it's impacted the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. So let's talk about it. Now we've gone with this first ever virtual holiday season. How has it been? How difficult has it been for the company? How difficult has it been for you?
Yeah, for the company, it's been really difficult because, you know, dance is a very physical art form. You know, you're always touching, you're sweating, you're breathing on each other. And so the company has really had to, you know, get with New York State and government and kind of come up with a plan so that we can all sort of exist in a space and do what it is that we do to the best of our ability. So I think it was really tough. It was really tough for them to begin with, but they pulled it off. And so once we were able to get back into the studios, I mean, there was definitely a very strict COVID protocol coming into the building with hand sanitization and testing, temperature checks, all that stuff. And then actually dancing in the space, there were squares sort of taped out all over the dance studio floors. And within those squares, that's where the dancers were allowed to dance in, and each square was separated 6 foot from the other square.
Ooh.
So, so yeah, there were definitely some challenges, and but I kind of like challenges. And also this piece was shot outdoors. So I said, well, if I can just give them the steps here indoors in place within their squares, then once we get outside and there's more space to sort of move around, I can sort of make the dance kind of move around in the space without having to worry about any COVID situations.
We've pretty much seen the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater on stage, especially, you know, at NJ PAC here in Newark, which is just, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump from WBGO. Is there a difference when you perform outside as a dancer?
Yeah, there is. There's really no end to how far you can exert your energy, meaning like there is no wall. Do you know what I mean? There is no one person or people that you can direct your energy towards. So sometimes it can feel a bit more exhausting because your energy is just sort of like flying out into the space. And also when you're on stage, there's a front, you know, there's a front of the stage and there is a back. And sometimes when you're outdoors and you're not in that proscenium setting, where front is, it can be a little bit disorienting, especially when you have to do multiple pirouettes or turns and stuff like this. It can take some time to sort of figure out how to situate yourself in the space. But I think once you get the hang of it, you know, dancers are very well trained. So after about an hour or so, everyone's got it down.
We're speaking with the acclaimed Ailey dancer and resident choreographer Jamar Roberts here on the WBGO Journal. A time in our world rife with chaos and uncertainty, a jam session for troubling times. It's the world premiere, and it's from Jamar Roberts, but there's much more from you. There's Ode, last year's powerful meditation on the beauty and delicacy of life in a time of growing gun violence. Now that this has been another year since that, does this piece mean even more to you?
It does. I think it always will. I think that that is an issue that our country struggles with since its inception. So, yeah.
For those who haven't seen Ode, tell us a little bit about it so that people can look forward to seeing it again.
Ode was a piece that I originally conceived at around the time these young Black men were being shot down by the police. And I've had a lot of compassion and a lot of empathy for that situation, being a young Black man myself. And so I created a work that sort of, if more than anything, it was to help the community heal. The community, the friends and families of victims. And you know, instead of approaching the piece from a violent sort of standpoint, you know, there's not a single gunshot, you know, in the work. I was really thinking more along the lines of a funeral. And so there's a very strong floral theme throughout the work. There are flowers that are sort of suspended in air as the dancers dance in this space that is no heaven, you know, nor earth. You know, they're in this sort of limbo type space, really just sort of, it's a reflection, exactly like you said there in the description before moving on into the afterlife. And that's how the piece ends.
I have so many vivid images of various pieces that the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater has put together through the years. I mean, everybody, you know, sees the umbrellas and, you know, wade in the water for revelations and, but it's the movements, and there's so many parts of it that stick in your mind. And I remember, you know, watching the lynching as one of the numbers most recently, and how the company moved. You have not stopped during this coronavirus pandemic. You have been just as creative, and you've been on the forefront of dance and film with a variety of commissions. How about Cooped for the Guggenheim's work and process?
Yes, Cooped was a film, a dance film that I created very early on during the pandemic. I think I finished it at around April, I would say, like mid, late April. And it was a piece that I created. It was a solo for myself that I filmed myself. And the music is by a friend of mine, David Watson, who's a really wonderful bagpipe and multi-instrumentalist. And the piece was basically about this state of emergency that we were in, and the even stronger state of emergency that I felt we were in at the time during the beginning of all of this. And it just deals with the disproportionate effects that COVID has taken on in communities of color. And the communities of color, not only with COVID, but just our overall history of quarantining. You know, when you think of the Atlantic slave trade, or when you think of redlining, or when you think of the creation of ghettos, you know, all of these sort of spaces that were made to relegate, you know, people of color to certain parts, you know, to you know, it's a type of quarantining that we've had to deal with like our entire, you know, time in this country. And so the piece sort of delves into the weight of that. It's a very moody, very heavy piece that I actually didn't even know that I was making when I was making it at the time. But when I'm making work, it's sort of like, especially when I'm alone, it feels a lot like journaling, where it can be really stream of consciousness until you, you know, put the pen down and you sort of reread what you wrote down, and then you see, oh, you know, I was feeling something that's a lot more deeper than what I anticipated. And so I just kind of laid into that and created this work.
You know what I love about talking to dancers and choreographers with the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater is that they're deep, and their knowledge and their passion, it just jumps out at you. It's also their great love of history. You hear Jamar talking and speaking of history, In Memory, a dance film for the March on Washington Film Festival in honor of the late Congressman John Lewis. Mm-hmm. Another special thing for you.
Yeah. You're really taking me back to all of these films. Right now I'm on to the next film. So
I don't mean to make you just, but you know, if people know the depth of, you know, what you're thinking about, I think it really makes even the newer pieces more, you know, more special, that they realize that, you know, you put a lot of research, a lot of effort into this. You're not just somebody who's incredibly athletic and can do all kinds of things that we can't when we see you on the stage. It's also mind and body coming together.
Yeah, for me, it's really important that, you know, dance is communication, essentially. You know, we are on the stage trying to communicate ideas, thoughts, and feelings to the audience. And speaking about In Memory, it was a work that was commissioned by the March on Washington Film Festival. When I originally got the commission, John Lewis was still alive, and he passed away, I would say, maybe a couple weeks, maybe a month after I had started working on the piece. So I was like, well, you know what I mean? The piece now, it really has to take on a completely different message, because I anticipated him watching it when I first had the ideas of making it, and then it turned out he was not able to. So the piece kind of does like a bit of a, I won't say a complete retrospective, you know, dance can only do so much, but it definitely mimics the civil rights movement. A lot of the footage is black and white. So the film itself is done in black and white. And it starts with a person sort of like that's fallen down, you know, on the road towards, you know, freedom. And then he stumbles upon a place and starts to have a lot of memories. You know, this place, wherever he is, reminded him of the fight, you know, for civil rights. And then from that point on, it kind of ends with like probably a pretty literal solo of who I imagine John Lewis to be, or how I see him, you know, as one of the great American heroes. So yeah, I think it's a very poignant, very poetic, and very sweet piece. I'm actually pretty proud that I was asked to do it.
This may be an unusual question for you, but have you ever thought about getting into politics?
No, I hate politics.
You hate politics. But yet you know, when you see somebody like John Lewis, you realize how he used at least that platform to try to make some changes in this world. I want to take you back even a little bit further.
All right.
You're a Miami native. You graduated from the New World School of the Arts after beginning studies at the Dance Empire of Miami. What was the moment where Jamar Roberts said, pretty good, I think I can really do this on a regular basis, and people will want to come and see my dancing and choreography?
Wow. I think I was well into the company at that point. I was probably about in my late 20s before I actually decided that this is what I wanted to do. You know, I had a lot of wonderful mentors and teachers growing up that saw a lot of my talent before I could see it myself. And so they really pushed me in the direction that I am now. And they've always encouraged me to be creative and to make dance. And when I'm actually dancing myself, to really try to dance from the most, you know, the deepest place possible, you know, not just showing, oh, I can jump 10 feet in the air. I actually can't. Or, you know, do, you know, five, you know, pirouettes, but really dance from a place that is more, a lot more deeper than that. And so to answer your question, I think it took me a while. You know, I got into Alvin Ailey when I was 18 years old. I'm now 38. And the amount of growth that you do from that, in between that time is really extensive, and it takes you a while to kind of find yourself. And I was never really like young and wild. I was never really the wild one. I was always very introspective and always seeking to be the best artist that I could be. And I don't think that it wasn't until, you know, really in my late 20s that I really started to see a way for myself to be able to not just engage with the world of dance, but to be able to speak, you know, largely. And so I'm actually very grateful for that as well.
When's the last time you were in Miami?
Oh, probably 2 years ago. I can't remember. I used to go in the summers and in January, actually. I'm kind of like overdue for a visit.
Holiday season will be different for people, but they get to see free streaming of this holiday season for the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. Do you guys, you know, what the people who are now going to be watching you virtually, you know what they're thinking and they're going through. So how is that working for you?
I think that, you know, even though watching dance on the screen is not the most ideal, I think that there's something about dance in this moment and using this type of medium that's allowing the entire community to get to know each other. You know, dancers from other companies and non-dancers, you know, our fans, we're getting to see a little bit more insight to who the dancers are and to who the directors are. And I think that's really great, because I think that can just provide a lot more appreciation for the work that we do and a lot more appreciation for the dancers in our relationship with the people that watch us.
What's been the biggest difference between Judith Janison and Robert Battle as the artistic directors?
This is a question I do not like. the biggest difference, I guess the biggest difference that anyone could probably see if you sat in the studio for about 10 minutes with each of them is that Robert is very easygoing. And that creates a very specific kind of workspace. And Judith Jamison is easygoing when she's easygoing. But when she wants you to do the work, she wants the work to be done, and she wants it to be done well. And that in itself creates a different type of work environment. Neither of them are bad. They're just two completely different people, to be honest with you.
And yeah, they are, you know, and I love them both dearly, because I've had an opportunity to interview them so many times when you guys have come to Newark. I have a great respect for all of you. And, you know, it started with Judith for me, and we've even done a sports jam show together when she came in once and she said, "Did you see that one guy that was going in front of Brodeur and goalie with the stick?" And I said, "You watch hockey?" She said, "Yeah, I keep up." And I've always thought of all of you as great athletes, and I wish you all played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, actually, Jamar, because then we'd have even more great catches, you know, from the people who are playing wide receiver and tight end. Now, as we wrap up, you know, talking about this world premiere jam session for Troubling Times, you have a chance, because something weird has happened and Charlie Bird Parker enters your office or where you're at right now. And he comes back and he says, "What do you want to know from me? What question do you have for Bird?"
Oh, wow. No one's ever really asked me that. I would probably ask him, probably a question that a lot of people would want to ask him is, how do you do it? How do you do it? Like, really explain to me from, you know, with each finger, how are you doing what you're doing? Slow it down, rewind, and play it again.
That's a good answer. Tell us how we can see, you know, this whole holiday season performances, especially your pieces.
Well, you can definitely see it at www.alvinaileyamericandancetheater.com. I think the season is also streaming on YouTube, Vimeo, and others. But if you go to the website, it's all there.
Any final words about working through the pandemic or your world premiere that you feel that you need to share with our audience today?
Definitely tune in. That's what is the number one thing I would say. Definitely tune in and support the arts, support dance, and support Alvin Ailey during this time.
Jamar Roberts, it's been a pleasure as always. You know, I love watching you perform. I love your choreography, and I learned something new about you and those from the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater every time I talk to you guys. It's such an insightful look at dance, and really when we talk about history, and that's something that, you know, I love so much about what you do. Thanks for joining us on the WBJO Journal, and continued success.
You're welcome. Thank you.